Jazz 91.9 FM and WCLK.com. Jamal Ahmed with the soul of jazz on this Tuesday afternoon. Good afternoon, Atlanta and the rest of the world. Of course, checking us out via WCLK.com and the TuneIn radio app. Now, we just heard music, brand new music coming from the group out of the UK known as Swing Out Sister from their latest LP, Private View. And they call that one Now You're Not Here. And we kicked it all off. Had to give you a double dose of Swing Out Sister coming from one of my favorite live albums of all time that was recorded back in, I think, 1993, 20 years ago, live at the Jazz Cafe in London. And that was Surrender. And that's a classic here at WCLK. Has been played many years. And I am so happy to say that we have the young lady who actually sang that tune and all those classic tunes right here. I want to welcome to the Soul Kitchen from Swing Out Sister, Miss Corinne Drury. Good afternoon, ma'am.
Hello there.
How are you?
Well, we're fine. We're so pleased to be back here in Atlanta. In fact, when we were discussing doing this tour, I was going, we want to come back to Atlanta because, as you know, well, you probably know, some people out there may have got tickets. Our last tour was cancelled due to a volcanic eruption in Iceland.
Yes, yes.
I mean, how bad luck was that to be all set, ready to go? We had all the rehearsals done and dusted, all bags packed, and suddenly nobody was going anywhere.
Yeah.
So that's how come the album you just played a track from, Private View, came about, because we were so excited. It's a bit like training for the Olympics. You know, we're at our peak. We're all ready, all set. And then, poof, nobody's going anywhere. And the days tick by one by one. The gigs passed. And we couldn't reschedule because we were going on to Japan after that. So,
oh, wow.
We decided to go in the studio and record it so we could just be getting on with something. And then when we finished the rest of the tour we came back and remixed them, added some arrangements, played and tweaked. So it's somewhere between a live and a studio album.
Mm. And, you know, we're going to get to that record because there are so many records. I mean, I'm one of your biggest fans. I will constantly say that during this interview, so don't get tired of it. But I remember actually going to your show back in 1994. Here in Atlanta.
Wow, we were just trying to remember when it was we were last here. Was it that long ago?
You know why I remember? Because it was the very first show that I took my very first girlfriend to.
Oh.
So it was the first show I ever took a lady to, and it was...
So it was a bit romantic.
Yeah, it wasn't.
You maybe weren't listening too much to the music.
No, I was. She was actually mad because I was too entranced in the music, but that's a whole nother thing. But it's been a long time since you guys have been around, and you guys have... what I love about Swing Out Sister is that you all continue to shape and become a different band with every record, but there's still that core of soul that is in the music. Let's talk about the beginnings of the band. What were you guys inspired by, and what made you put this group together?
Well, I suppose it was very incongruous when we first got together. I didn't really know Andy and Martin, who was in the group at the time, but a friend of theirs said they were looking for a singer, so I kind of forced myself upon them because I'd never sung in a band before. And my background was fashion design, but I loved music. I've always loved music. And my favorite area of music is R&B and soul, in particular Tamla Motown, what we call Northern Soul in England.
Right.
It's like underground R&B that DJs from England used to come over and hunt for all this
mm-hmm,
stuff
mm-hmm.
that was kind of not wanted anymore in America. And then suddenly, you know, people were fighting over this stuff in little underground clubs in the north of England. So kind of soul and pop I loved. Andy had more of a jazz background. He'd been in a band on Factory Records called A Certain Ratio, and there was kind of...
Oh, really? He was in A Certain Ratio?
Yeah, Andy played keyboards in A Certain Ratio.
Never knew
so
that.
He'd been touring America with the whole Factory band scene, so that was kind of industrial, you know, kind of
like that dance kind of rock punk. It was in its own, you can't even describe what type of music that is, really.
Yeah,
it's funky though.
Yeah. Yeah, Shack Up, they
Shack
did
Up.
A cover of
big
Shack
tune.
Up
yeah big tune.
And then Martin, he had been in a band called Magazine, so that was punk pure rock, really. So trying to bring three people's ideas together and make some sense of it was a bit difficult. So I always think of our first album, It's Better to Travel, as a kind of experiment. It was the it was a template for what was to come, but I don't think we kind of knew what we were doing. You know, it was all thrown together. Thank goodness for our producer, Paul O'Duffy. He had a bit of a job, but he tried to make some sense of it. You know, it's so all those things thrown in, we found we had some common ground in film soundtracks, like Ennio Morricone, John Barry, the Bond themes with the theme tunes with Shirley Bassey, Bacharach and David.
Yeah.
Particularly the stuff they did with Dionne Warwick and Motown, and a bit of jazz thrown in, but it was kind of it was the film soundtracks, I think, that made us actually stick it out, because we thought, how are we going to make this work? We don't really get along musically at all. But then it just goes to prove, if you have differences of opinion, we kind of have musical arguments all the time. You'll see in our gig tonight, you know, it's kind of a musical battle some of the time, but it makes for more interesting results.
Yeah, I would totally assume so. And, you know, it's interesting that you say you guys have so many different, a wide array of influences all across the board, because when I listen to your music, it's like you have these so many influences funneled in that the music almost becomes genreless. Mm. Like you can't really put your finger on what this is.
I'm glad you say that, because I think the day we do fit into some kind of pigeonhole, it's kind of, it loses its purpose. I think we're kind of dodging the stereotypes, we're dodging the labels, and it's a nightmare for any record company. That's why they never have known what to do with us, or any promoter. But it's great for us. If you look into our audience, there are people from all backgrounds, all ages, all colours, gay, straight. You could not say there's one typical Swing Out Sister fan, and that's what I love. It just brings people together through the music.
Hmm. And, you know, being a young person growing up in the 80s and seeing you guys on the, I mean, my first exposure to Swing Out Sister was MTV. And seeing Breakout back, I think I was 12 years old when that was out. And then there was this kind of gap where I personally didn't hear from you guys anymore. You guys were still making great music. But then I caught back up with that Living Return record. Mm-hmm. And when I heard Living Return, it was like a bit more, it had more jazz and soul, and it just had something else on it. What was happening around that time when you made those records in the early 90s, as opposed to the records in the late 80s?
I think there was less technology involved. I think when we first started, a whole new load of technology had just come out, like Akai samplers and Fairlight machines. We were experimenting in the studio with a lot of stuff, but with The Living Return, I think we had just finished a tour of America, and we had our band all together, and, you know, we were at our peak. So I think we decided to write some new songs with the approach as if we were just going to go on tour with these songs. So we kind of recorded them more or less live with some mixing and arranging too. But I think we treated that more as a live take album. You know, we tried to do as much stuff together. I mean, it's not always easy. You kind of think in the old days when the records I was telling you about that I used to collect when I was younger, you know, people had 10 minutes and a very small budget. Everyone got in a room, everything was mic'd up, one take, two take at the most, and done. All the mistakes were left in, everything. And I think we got a bit too finicky in the 80s, and you could erase things and tweak and snip and cut and paste, and all this stuff came in, which was exciting at the time. But I think it kind of took a bit of the dirt out, and we kind of wanted to put the dirt back in, because that's what makes the atmosphere, that's what makes it feel real. You know, and I think that we just decided we'd keep it a bit more real and just try and do things in one or two takes, you know, no twiddling, no erasing, just leave stuff in, and especially with Private View as well. I think people like those things. It gives it character and the personality, but it's maybe taken us 10 albums to have the confidence to do that. I think when we first started, we go, oh, you can't leave that. There's something a bit out here, and there's a little bit there. You can hear a pitter-patter of this, or somebody breaking a string. And I think it takes time to have the confidence to do that.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting that you that you kind of crossed paths with Miss Indiari. She was leaving the studio just literally minutes ago while you're coming in.
Great to meet her.
Yeah, yeah, she was great. And we were talking to her before we started the interview with you, and she was saying how her last album, it took her 7 months as opposed to other records that took 2-3 years. And she said it felt better than any other record. And so it's interesting that that's the kind of same thing that you guys are going through.
Yeah, and I think it takes experience to build that confidence. And I think doing live stuff in between, you know, when you first start out, you want everything to be the best it can possibly be. I mean, obviously, we still do. But I think sometimes in that quest to make everything perfect, you sometimes lose some of the things that give things their character. So it's just finding a balance, really.
Well, you know, I want to play something off of your new album, Private View. And actually, I want to kind of go back, because you kind of went back to something off of The Living Return, a few things, actually. But in particular, I mean, a song that's always been my jam. Has been Mama Didn't Raise No Fool.
I'm glad you picked that one.
I love that tune. And I wanted to ask you, I've always wanted to ask you, was that you telling somebody off lightly?
Well, I kind of think I heard somebody say that on American TV, and I didn't quite get the context of how that phrase is used, but I just thought, I grew up, my parents divorced, you know, when I was 11 years old, and I grew up with a single parent. And it kind of made me think, you know, that is often the reason people use to blame people for various things. And I thought, well, you know, that's not always the case. It may sometimes be the case. It may sometimes be the case that things go wrong when you have two parents. But it's easy to point the finger. You know, but it was just something I heard when we were in America. I'd never heard that phrase before.
And you put it to good use, because I'm sure someone out there is using that as a bit of an anthem to tell someone how they feel. So, you know what, let's go into this. If you're just tuning in, we're speaking with Corinne Drury of the band Swing Out Sister. They're in town tonight. And, of course, we're going to play something from their latest LP, Private View. Mama Didn't Raise No Fool, right here on The Soul of Jazz.
Suddenly it becomes plain to see that's the
The Soul of Jazz with Jamal Ahmed. Music coming from Swing Out Sister and Mama Didn't Raise No Fool. And of course, we still have in the studio Miss Corinne Drury of the band Swing Out Sister. Thank you so much for coming down.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yeah, and thank you for blessing us with all of this beautiful music. And I'm actually looking on my Facebook page, my social media page, and I actually said I'm going to have you in the studio. And the response has been nothing short of phenomenal. I mean, people are saying that you're a legend and that you're you're dope. Someone said you're dope.
Well, I'm truly humbled.
I mean, if somebody love her voice. Someone even got a little smart and says, make sure she doesn't try to break out. Sorry. So a lot of people are showing you some love on social media. How does it feel to actually be a band that various generations? Because when I look at the people that are showing you love, they're from all generations, all walks of life. Who seem to gravitate to you guys' music?
It's great. And maybe that just shows that our music, it's just covering so much ground and gleaning inspiration from so many different areas. And I think that when you put that out, it appeals to so many different people on different levels. And I think we've just continued through the years making music, picking things up along the way like magpies and you know, anything that really inspires us, floats our boat, we kind of weave it in there. And you know, it's great. I mean, there is so much good music, and I think when we make music, when we write stuff, we are never going to know how other people will respond to it, but we try and surprise ourselves, and if we can surprise ourselves, then hopefully that's going to surprise people listening. But I would hope that our music gives people the feeling that records have given to me over the years. When you hear something and it's like, wow, I want to hear that again, that just makes me feel uplifted. You know, just we try to make music that makes you feel good. And I think the other thing, when you were asking before about what's the common thread in the music, how would you describe it? If you could describe anything, it's not necessarily a category. It's probably harmony. The things that we have loved and the things we put together, there are always got to be harmonies there. I mean, you want a good groove, you want beats, but there's got to be music in it. And I think if the music's missing, then the soul is missing.
You know, and I'm so glad you said that, because there's one record that you guys did in particular, and I mean, you guys have done so many records, you kind of like, you're like, which, where's that one? Where's that one? Where's that one? And one in particular, Filth and Dreams, which I think came out back in 2000. Was that 2000, 2001?
Yeah, about then.
Yeah, that record for me personally opened me up more to like Burt Bacharach. Like I was hearing these arrangements, And my good friend Kyrie Simmons, who's here in the studio, actually covered some
he's
of your music.
Right now.
He actually was the guy that pointed out and said, you know, that they're using these Burt Bacharach harmonies. And you were just speaking about harmony and all that. And so let's talk about those type of influences. Burt Bacharach, I mean, even on this record, you kind of take a nod to Donald Byrd. And there's so many vast influences. Who are some of the people that inform you guys? I mean, even Lonnie Liston Smith was on that live album. I mean, there's so many different nods to great people. And I don't know any pop artists who actually do that.
Well, I'm sure they do in their own way. I mean, maybe we wear our influences on our sleeve a bit too much sometimes. But I just think when somebody has moved you and their music, something they have created has moved you, you kind of want to give a nod in their direction. And the musical journey we've taken on this tour has been great, starting in Chicago. You know, people like Charles Stepney and Rotary Connection, Minnie Riperton. I'm just saying things off the top of my head. Then we go to Detroit and all the Motown influences, everyone from Smokey Robinson, Stevie Wonder. Well, everybody knows all that. But we had to go and drop into the Motown Museum. I've been there before, the very first time we came, but we
talk
just had to
that.
Go back.
Now, you know, I went there in 10 years ago, and it's like when you walk in Studio A, you feel energy, you feel spirits. It was just me. I don't know if it was me, but I felt something in that room.
Yeah, the people who I first asked the first time I went, that must have been about 25 years ago, they go, it's just a house. I'm going, yes, but it's what went on in that house. What did that start? You know, so many things began there. It brought people together. And, you know, to have that worldwide recognition from the small, humble beginnings from a little house on Grand Avenue, is it, in Detroit? I just think, wow, it's great. And it's still standing. They've modernized it a bit now. They do
a bit
more of an organized tour. But when we first went, you went upstairs, it was still like a bedroom, and there was the Four Tops costumes in one wardrobe and the Temptations and the Supremes in another. And, you know, you could touch all that sound. It's like you were touching the walls that they had touched. It was great.
But, you know, and saying all that kind of leads to something that has been told to me for many years, especially by my brethren and sister in the UK. And it was the one guy in particular, Tony Manviel, who was from Leicester. And he was a DJ here in Atlanta. And he used to always say, Jamal, you know, we Brits, all we're doing, feeding you guys back the culture that you guys created.
I think that's true.
You know, and at the end of the day, that's what's happening. But I think the beautiful part about that, Corinne, is that when you look at it, for a long time in America, there was a huge gap of creativity in the pop spectrum. And if it were not for bands like Swing Out Sister and Incognito and Sade and the Brand New Heavies and these bands keeping that tradition alive, we don't know where that music would have went. So we personally have to thank you for holding our treasure up when, you know, over here in America, we kind of dropped the ball.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose it's all market influences. It's all to do with commerce and backing and, you know, and I think at the end of the day, you just have to forget all that stuff and just make the music for the real reason, because you love it, you know. And if you keep doing that, you don't mind where it goes or who hears it. Obviously, we love people to hear it, and it's great to put stuff out there, and the energy you get back from people from making music is great. But I think, you know, when we started out in the 80s, there are lots of big record deals to be had, and, you know, people pushing stuff, and that doesn't last forever. But I think we didn't expect much when we started, so it was kind of a nice bonus. But but when that stuff's not there, you don't mind, because we're just making music because we love it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, I know you guys have to keep it moving, and because you have a show to get to this evening. And we're so waiting for this show. Atlanta has been waiting patiently to see you guys again. So I'm sure there's going to be a lot of love in the house.
Oh, I think there will be. We love Atlanta. And actually, when we started organizing this tour, Atlanta was the first place I asked about, because when we had the canceled Volcano tour, Atlanta was going to be the last date, and we had planned to spend a week here, to have a holiday here. Unfortunately, we can't do this time because we've got some other shows to go on to. But it's got a place. It's a special place to me, Atlanta. I just get a good feeling from Atlanta, so I'm looking forward to tonight's show.
Yeah, yeah. Well, if when you do come back, please make sure that you come back down to WCLK, because we always 365. We'll continue the show, Swing On Sister Love. And we're going to get out of here with something off of your album, Private View. I think we were just talking about this. Am I the Same Girl?
Yeah.
With a nice nod to the great and never late Donald Byrd at the end. It's beautiful. So thank you so much, Corinne, for coming through and blessing us with your presence.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Always.
See you later.
Yes, see you later. Yes, yeah. Ma'am. And of course, we have in the studio Corinne Drury of Swing Out Sister. Right now, Am I the Same Girl? Right here on The Soul of Jazz.